And grab Job chapter 14 in your Bibles. Job chapter number 14. I want to read four verses with you here by way of introduction, and we'll get right in. Job chapter 14, verse number 1. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Watch this verse. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And then he says, not one. But don't forget, that's what Job is saying in his misery. You and I have a distinct advantage. We have the entire canon of Scripture written and sitting right in our laps tonight. So what I think is especially wonderful about this is that God gives us a man's perspective here in the book of Job from the workings of his human mind and how his human mind works through the problems that he has. And yet, at the exact same time, you and I have the mind of Christ. We have been born again. We have the Spirit of God living within us. And beyond that, Job had a little bit of the knowledge of God back in that day. But you and I have much, much more because of the completed canon of Scripture. So as we go through here, we get a really unique perspective of our minds and how they'll work, our adversary, the devil, and how he works, the world around us and how it works. And yet, what a great advantage we have because we get all the answers because we have the completed canon of Scripture. And beyond that, we have the indwelling Spirit of God if we're born again, who's there to comfort us and speak to us and teach us and direct us and work on our minds. Please don't ever overlook that, Christian. For whatever reason, we seem to just overlook constantly and forget and push aside and turn down the fact that the Holy Spirit of God indwells us and seals us as born-again believers. We have it really, really good in the New Testament. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have the mind of Christ and we have the words of Christ and the full plan laid out in front of us in the Scriptures. Not only that, but we have the advantage of knowing how it's going to end because of all the prophecies of the Scriptures and even having revelation which shows us the way this whole thing wraps up eventually. So we get to peer out into, not just into the tribulation period, which don't forget Job is a picture of Israel in the tribulation, but we get to look beyond that into the millennial kingdom and beyond that into eternity future. We got it pretty good. Now, here's my thought for tonight. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Let me tell you the answer. God can. I don't care what your problems are tonight and how much despair you're in and how you feel like there's just no way all this mess can work out well and I don't see any good in this and how could all this tragedy, all these difficult things, all these bad things, how in the world could any of this turn out good? Listen, no man can bring an unclean thing, a clean thing out of an unclean thing. But let me tell you something about God. He can. He can work miracles, folks. I still believe with all my heart we have a God who can and does work miracles. Job asked this question in the pit of his despair. Now, I want to bring you back to something I said last time because I really want you to latch a hold of this. If the devil can't get your heart, he'll get your mind. And when the devil went after Job, the devil could not get his heart. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He tells his wife, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil? You speak like a foolish woman.
I mean, in all that he's going through, the devil could not get his heart. Even all the way up to what we saw last week in verse 15 of chapter 13, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. He said, I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care if God kills me. I'm going to trust God and I'm going to do right because it's right to do regardless of whether or not God ever blesses me again. The devil couldn't get to his heart. What is the number one thing for you and I? The number one thing? Giving God your heart. Right? Isn't that what Jesus said? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second's like unto it, your neighbor is yourself. But number one is loving God with all your heart. When the devil sees he can't get your heart, you know what he'll start doing? He'll start working in your mind. He'll start messing with your head. And so since he couldn't get to Job's heart, he turned around and he began attacking his mind. Christian, you and I need to have the mind of Christ. We need to gird up the loins of our mind. We need to tell, listen, you need to tell yourself what to think about some things. Do not let your emotions dictate God. Dictate your opinion of God. You tell your emotions that they're wrong, and you put on the mind of Christ, and you look at the words of God, and you say, listen, I may not always be able to explain it. I might not always feel it. I might not have an answer for this right now, but I do know this. I know God said it, and that's it. Because God said it. One thing that we need, and you notice in this generation, I'm not trying to be mean and bust on people all the time, but you notice in this generation, people have got really weak minds, man. It's like you'll tell yourself you're sick the first time you sniffle, and next thing you know, you're laying out because you're just, oh, I'm so sick. And it's like, because somebody, my grandma used to do that to my Uncle Johnny. She used to walk up to him and touch his forehead and say, oh, Johnny, are you okay? And he'd say, what? She'd say, you feel hot. Are you okay? Are you feeling okay? He'd go, oh, don't you need to go lay down? Yeah. And he'd go lay down. What'd she do? She got in his head. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to get in your head. If there's nothing else tough about you, one thing you ought to have tough about you, you ought to have your mind tough. You ought to have your mind made up. You ought to ask God to help you with your thought life. Again, you don't always have to run to perversion. Every time we talk about our thought life, it's like we gravitate to the lowest level, the pre-K Christianity, the very early stages of learning to walk with God, and that's saying don't be a stinking pervert. Hello. There's more to it than just that. You realize the devil can get in your head and make you start doubting God? The devil get in your head and tell you people are talking about you and criticizing you when they aren't? Devil get in your head and tell you God ain't fair? Devil get in your head and tell you somebody doesn't like you? This all kinds of stuff will start working through our minds, that bitterness. The devil will take your mind back to things that happened a long time ago that ought to be ancient history, that you ought to let go of because it's so far in the past. Forget about it, bury it, and move on with your life. Give it to God, forgetting those things that are behind. God, help me with my mind, because the devil's trying to bring up stuff that hurts my heart. You got my heart. I love you. I'm trying to love you more. And that old Lucifer, that old slewfoot, he knows how to get in my mind to try to access my heart to turn me away from you. And he brings up things that are ancient history, but they're painful. Devil, I'm telling you, he'll play with your head. So what does he do? Well, let's look at it in one of the greatest men in all the Bible. And if he struggled in these ways, you better believe you will too. What's he do? He starts to make him despair of life. Look at what he says in verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Do you ever, I was telling somebody recently, man, for years I wanted to be 40. To me, the number 40, turning 40, was a badge of honor. That was like, I mean, that was it. You finally reached the pinnacle. And I'll tell you exactly where that came from. That came from Jim Lentz getting in my head when I was in my early or mid-20s. He said, mid-20s. He said, a man don't know nothing till he's 40. Takes 40 years to make a message because it takes 40 years to make a man. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll see. And boy, that just got in my head, right? I wanted to be 40. Then it happened very, very fast. And then 41, 42, and it's just like screaming so quickly. And all of a sudden, I'm going, you know what? It would sure be nice to go back and just be content with being 30 again. Be content with being 25 again. Just be happy with where God had me and soak it up a little more. Not be in such a rush to try to move through my life and hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Hurrying everything up all the time. Pressure, pressure, pressure all the time. Why? Because I'm honestly, I get it, and I'm not trying to talk like I'm an old man. I'm not. But I get how quickly this life is going. And can I say, when you really get that, when it's really in your head, when it really sinks down in your heart and you're like, man, my life is flying by. And not only that, but there are a lot of problems in this world. Listen, the older you get, the more problems you have. Talk to some of the older people. I mean, one of the first things they'll tell you is that for them, it was a chore getting from the car into the building because their bad knee, their bad hip, their bone on bone this, their arthritis that, right? Can I get a witness? You older folks don't have to freeze up on me. It's okay. Not only that, but they still have bills to pay. They still have, you know, furnaces going out and tires going out. And they got all the other problems everybody else has. Oh, and then there's another layer. They now have adult kids who a lot of times are making child decisions. And that's a weight and a stress on them. And on top of that, and you could just keep, life is full of trouble. And the older you get, I'm not trying to depress you tonight, but the older you get, the more you begin to realize, like, yep, that's just the way it is. And so the devil will start to get into your head. And he'll start to suck the life and the energy out of you. And he'll start to make you one of those bitter, jaded, angry, miserable, frustrated people. He cometh forth like a flower. And it's something about them babies, man. You know, babies get scared of me for whatever reason. But Dan and Ashley's baby keep smiling at me. I'm winning the smile race. Grace is holding her and talking. And then I walk up and get the smile. It's become a competition between me and Grace. You know what, you know what them babies are, man? They're beautiful. I've seen some ugly babies. I get it, okay? But what I'm saying is it's a beautiful thing. They're so innocent. They're so simple. You know, kids brighten everything up. I mean, if they're well-disciplined and you know, take care of all the other stuff at home that you need to take care of. kids make it. They bring energy to the room. They bring excitement to the room. They bring a little noise to the room. They bring some laughter and some playing and some, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It's an exciting, life is, what I'm trying to tell you is life is a great thing. I don't know that I'll ever get to the day. I mean, time, things change with time. I get that. But I don't know that I'll ever get to the day where I don't have dogs running around. I love my dogs. It's life. Life is wonderful. Life is beautiful. But the sad thing about it is it cometh forth like a flower. There it is. Oh, wow, look at that. Wham! Just like that, it's gone. I just had to wake you up. And before you know it, that thing's just cut right down. And you're like, are you kidding me? I'm reading an autobiography of a Navy SEAL who's a real expert on mind, on controlling your mind, on mental toughness. And he gives the backstory of his life, and I'm telling you, man, it make me literally feel sick to my stomach. He's talking about how he grew up in a home with a very abusive dad, and they they presented to the world, they were lived in a rich area, and they presented to all their neighbors that they were this rich, well-put-together family. But when the door shut to the house and the family went in the house, he said it was like absolute terror. It was hell. Waving to the neighbors, and oh, there's the wonderful little family. And then they go in, and Dad was abusive, screaming and yelling all the time, not only verbally abusive, but physically abusive. Seen his mom get beat to a pulp more than one time. Finally had enough and tried to attack his dad at about 7 or 8 years old, tried to attack his dad, wailing on his dad. So then he got beat to a pulp, and the beatings commenced in his life and continued until his mom got to a point where she said, "We can't do this anymore," and she had to escape. Literally escape. She had to get help from other people to get her set up, how to get a credit card, how to start getting some things together in her life, because her husband had been so controlling over her, she didn't even have a way to pay for anything or support herself in any way. She was so helpless, she couldn't even get in a vehicle and leave. So then they go out here, and they move from the Northeast, they move out into the Midwest, and they're living out there in the Midwest, and a man comes along that's just a really great guy. He steps in, he starts getting his mother encouraged, and he gets her kind of like back to life again and feeling good about herself, and he is going to the kids' ball games and all this stuff, and all of a sudden they get the phone call that guy randomly got murdered. And he remembers as a little boy running up there and ducking underneath that wire thing, the tape there, and that they let them come in and see it. He says he remembers looking over and seeing the blood in the garage, and just like the freak out thing that was happening in his head. And his mom went into us, just snapped into a crazy zone. She was like unemotional. She had like no emotion. She responded, she just sat like shaking and just didn't respond. And so she ignored him. And he got shipped off to somebody else's house where he stayed there, and it was scary. And he remembers watching the news and watching his mom and himself on the news. And just laying there as a little boy thinking like, yep, this is my life. He goes, eventually she gets it together and he gets back in school. He's sitting on the bus in school, and this car pulls up beside the bus. And the little boy, about 5-year-old little boy, jumps out of the car with a plate full of cookies. And he goes busting out to run around the bus, and the clutch or something on the bus popped, or the driver started pulling forward and ran the little 5-year-old over. And blood splattered his window. And he's just a kid, and he's sitting here and he's looking. And he says he remembers staring at the mother, who was literally screaming, losing her mind, and ripping chunks of her hair out of her head while she's falling on the ground looking at her little baby boy. And he said, I don't know what it was in me, but my life had been so dark. I got out of the bus and I looked underneath to see the little kid smashed underneath the tire of the bus, crushed his skull. And he said to me, I was like, yep, that's just life. He said, that's the way the world is. It's nothing but pain and tragedy. And he just began getting so bitter and so hard and so frustrated and so scared that his life started down a very, very dark road. Now, he's since used some of that to propel him into some successful things, and all that stuff's carnal and it can apply to you and help you in your life. But spiritually speaking, if you're not careful, you're going to see some things in this world. And listen, if your life hasn't been that bad, you ought to go home and get on your knees and thank God, because a lot of people live in that kind of misery. And that being said, you do live in a sinful world. And you will notice that life is a beautiful thing, and then all of a sudden, boom, just like that, tragedy strikes. And the devil begins to get in your head and say, well, if there was a loving God in heaven, why in the world would he, and how could a loving God let this thing? You better watch out for your mind, because the devil's going to come after your mind. Look at verse 3. Dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. He's saying, you got us hemmed in, God. You got us locked up. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. Now watch this. So he goes through all this stuff about human life. And now
He starts talking about trees, about animals. The study of trees is dendrology. There's an actual science out there that focuses on trees. He says, for there's hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. So he's looking at life. And he's getting to a point now where when he sees humanity and he sees the sin in humanity, and he sees the death in humanity, and he sees all the bad things that happen in the world around him and to people, he says it'd be better to be a tree. He said, when a tree gets cut down, it sprouts again. What happens to a human when they get cut down? When a human's cut down, you can't bring that human back to life. It's over. Trees get cut down and boom, there's another sprout. A little bit of water, boom, there's another sprout. Can I say this? If you're not careful, not only will you begin to despair of your own life. Listen to me. Not that when the devil gets in your head, you will begin to despair of your own life. This rise in suicides and all this stuff, there's more to it than what meets the eye. It is demonic. It is a result of sin. Why in the world would a teenager, they talk all the time about teen suicide, why would a teenager want to end their life? Now listen, lots of people get stupid thoughts. Don't panic, all right? Let's not take it too far. Lots of people get stupid thoughts. Almost everybody's had stupid thoughts at some point or another. I'd just rather be dead. I'm going to kill myself. While you're eating that ice cream? You know, you're stuffing your face with a burger because you're hungry, but I just want to die. I'll just slap you. Quit acting like a baby. Amen? But there are actually a lot of teenagers out there that are killing themselves. Why? Every teenager that's healthy is like, I can't wait to be 16. That'll last a week, and then it's, I can't wait to be 18. Then I'll be a legal adult. You just turned 16. You know, this is exciting. You got your driver's license. Yeah, I'm going to be a legal adult. And then even the Christian ones, you know, it's like, well, I'm legal drinking age because I'm 21. I'm not going to drink, but I'm legal drinking age. Like, I'm finally 21. You know, I've made it, you know. Why would somebody so full of hope and so full of future, with your whole life ahead of you get that? I'm talking about hope. I'm talking about being excited about, hey, who am I going to marry? Right? That's healthy. How many kids do I want? Oh, I want 47 boys and 32 girls and all this stuff. You're nuts, but whatever. What does the future hold for me? That's exciting stuff, man. What do you want to be? There's a whole world out there of like what I could be. Like, investigate. This is an exciting time of life. Why in the world are so many teenagers ending their life? I'm telling you, when the devil gets in your head, he'll start telling you your life is useless. That is not thoughts from God. Hey, gird up the loins of your mind. You need to begin saying, you know what? That thought ain't holy. I'm going to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ and bring every thought into captivity to the knowledge of Christ. Or something. Go look it up. You know what it is. Cast down that stuff. God, help me with my mind. The devil's getting in my head. And boy, it's a funny thing there when you over there in Romans, the first mention there of neither were they thankful, but became vain in their foolish imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. What happened? They weren't thankful. Then their mind got affected. Then their heart got affected. And before you know it, they're worshiping the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. It goes from not only their view of their own life, but it cascades down into their view of the world around them. You see that? Do you see that thread and how the devil works?
He starts with the view of your own life. Okay, well, I can't stand myself. I'm a failure. I'm a loser. I'm a this. I'm a waste of skin. I just never amount to nothing. I really didn't foresee my life turning out like this. Well, get in line, man. You realize life in a sinful world is just like that. Hey, my visions of grandeur 12 years ago, you have no idea. According to what I thought I was going to be 12 years ago as the pastor of Bible Believers Church, I am an abject failure. But I don't think this ministry is a waste of time to you. I don't. That's life. Don't let the devil get in your head when you deal with the realities of life in a sinful world. Is this world what it's all about for you? What around here has been so great that you're going to get that obsessed with this life? Hello? He's looking at the trees, he's saying, they got it better than I got it. The problem is when the devil gets in your mind, not only will you not look at life the right way, but your focus will be limited. Look at verse 11. As the waters fail from the sea and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. He's all focused on the here and now. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me, focused on the here and now. See that? He's like, I just want to die. I just want to be in the grave. Listen, the devil will drag your attention off the eternal and get your attention on the here and now when he gets in your head. You know what he wants to do? He wants to rob your fellowship with Jesus Christ. When the devil can get you to start looking at your life like you're a failure because things haven't turned out like you wanted, or there's pain in your life or problems in your life, and your focus is on that, and then he gets in your head and begins to make you feel like you're a failure, you start looking at things the wrong way, you start looking at everything around you the wrong way, then the next thing you know, he's dragging you down to a point where your focus is off. Before it was, God, why are you doing this to me? Now it's like, man, this is a mess. My life is a mess. This isn't fair. I got this pain. I got this heartbreak. Listen, the prodigal son said, give me my portion now. Why? Because he was worried about the here and now. Esau was hungry and he sold his birthright because he was worried about the now. He wasn't worried about the birthright that someday was going to have everlasting ramifications if you haven't noticed. He said, well, I'm hungry. What good's this birthright going to do me? Sure, I'll sell out everything eternal for right now if you'll satisfy me right now. That's a trick of the devil. He's in your head. You're more worried about the immediate than you are the eternal. The devil's got your mind. Now watch this. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? Boy, it's nice having a different perspective, ain't it? It's nice seeing the end of the book, ain't it? Don't you have an advantage, Christian? I hope this is helping your heart a little bit and helping your mind a little bit tonight. No matter what you're going through, you got an advantage over Job. Yeah, Job, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? God can. If a man dies, shall he live again? Not in man's power, but yes, God can. And since God did, I'm a gonna. That's pretty cool, man. So it's like, you know what? Worst thing happens in this world. The worst thing happens to me. I'm all right. I'm good with it. Why? Because my focus ain't in the here and now. My life is in Him. Eternity is coming. That's what matters. That's what lasts. So if I got to suffer a little bit right now, God Almighty, help me keep my heart right and my helm straight so I can get through it and give Him some glory and have a little bit of something laid up on the other side. Got to hear His voice. Look at verse 15. Thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. You know what John 10 says? My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. My sheep know my voice. You know what you need to learn to do? You need to learn to tune your mind and your heart to the voice of God. Do you know His voice? There are many kinds of voices in the world, right? And there's all kinds of voices in your head. And there's all kinds of voices on your phone. And there's all kinds of voices on your tablet and on your laptop and at your workplace. There's all kinds of voices in your home. Do you know the voice of God? He knows you. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you think. He knows exactly how you think. He knows you better than you know yourself. Boy, I'm glad to know that I got a shepherd whose voice I can hear. And boy, I have learned, God helping me, I've learned His voice. You know why? I've ignored it and reaped the repercussions. And then I've obeyed it and reaped the blessings. And if that happens long enough in your life and enough times in your life, you'll have certain instances where you'll be heading this way and you'll have this like, nope, don't. And you might try to explain it to somebody else and they look at you like you're crazy, like you got three eyes or something. But you're like, look, I can't explain this. It's just not right. Why? Because I got an inner pilot. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's called the voice of my shepherd. And when he tells me this and I ignore it, I always wind up in a mess. You need to tune your ear to that voice. Don't have a limited focus. His focus got limited in his trouble. In other words, folks, you and I, if our minds are going to be right, we need to realize God can work miracles. But if you quit, if you don't listen to Him, if you don't pay attention to Him, you're never going to see those miracles. I've been praying for Paul and Patty's kids. They haven't requested prayer for them in a long time. But I've been praying for Paul and Patty's kids. I remember him when he had his widowmaker heart attack and all the other stuff he was going through. He said, Pastor, maybe God will use this to help get a hold of the hearts of my kids. I want to see my kids saved. I haven't quit praying for them. Can you do it? No, but God can. Can I do it? No, but I think God can. And there's more, yeah, I won't embarrass you, but there's more, yeah, I've been praying for some of your extended family members. Listen, God can. God can. You might give up hope, but Jesus didn't give up hope on Lazarus until after 4 days he was dead. And then when Jesus showed up, he said, I think I can do something with this one. Ain't that cool? Folks, I got the rest of my life, if Jesus tarries, to see God work some miracles and touch some people and do some things. You and I can't, but God can. I want the long view in my family. Did you hear me? I want the long view in my family. You think every day raising kids, trying to build a marriage, is always hearts and flowers? Don't you think sometimes you're just kind of like ready to just, I quit! I want the long view. I don't mean to sound corny or be ridiculous or weird to you, but I do think about someday being somebody's grandpa. If God's good enough to allow that to happen. And I do think about how I'm going to look in their eyes. Now, if they hate me for being a man of God or being a preacher, then they're just little devils and that's their problem between them and God. But if they hate me because I'm an idiot or because I messed up or because I didn't have the long view or I didn't care about them or care about their mama and daddy or care about their grandma, my dad always said this, the best thing you can do for a young man is love his mother. Amen. I want the long view. I want the long view in this church. I don't want to get all wound up and let the devil get all up in my head and start messing with my brain over somebody's miffed and somebody's not talking to me, somebody gave me the cold shoulder, or somebody's telling somebody else that, you know, I used to be a great preacher, but, you know, I'm the devil now, and, you know, whatever. You know, whatever, man. People are people. They all got problems. Maybe they take them out on me. Maybe they don't. Maybe I messed up. If I did, tell me. I'll apologize, and let's move on with life. Whatever. I don't want to let the devil up in my head and get me distracted from my Savior and get my mind all messed up where I can't lay down at night and have a good night's sleep because I got the devil all up in my mind. I'm all messed up and jacked up because I'm panicking about whatever. I want the long view, man. If I do my job and I put the book out there and I follow God and I do my very best to feed you the best I know how, love you and pray for you, answer your phone calls or call you back as soon as I can, if I'm there for you doing my job, then I want the long view in this church and just let God do whatever God's going to do in His time. I want the long view in my witnessing. There's a bunch of people I'm witnessing to. He's talking to one guy today. Another guy was standing over there, and he was kind of like, you know, snooping our conversation. And I'm talking to him, but I'm watching him. And I'm going, all right, Lord, get him. Holy Spirit, get him. He's kind of walking back and forth and looking, putting his head down, looking, putting his head down, looking, putting. That's the guy who said, the guy that was snooping the conversation said, hey, Pastor Mike. What's up? He said, my mom said she wants to come to your church. There's a grown man, 200-pound grown man with a beard. So she's about your age. That's one of those moments, man. Whoa, like a flower cutting down. Is that possible? He said the Catholic Church kicked her out over her divorce. And I told her I'm going to find her a better church. And then I told her I got a guy that trains with me who's a pastor. I'm going to take you there. I want the... They didn't show up. I know. It's okay. I want the long view in my witnessing. Who knows, 20 years from now, who might walk in here that got a gospel tract and stuck it in their dresser drawer and never pulled it out. Come on, man, you got some of those drawers around your house, too. Just move. If you don't think you do, just move. You'll find them all. They're there. You never know what God might do. Let me wrap this up tonight. Look at verse 17. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. Surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of his place. The waters wear the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of man. That's not true. The devil got in your head, brother. The devil's giving you thoughts that aren't true. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passeth. Thou changest his countenance and sendest him away. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not, and they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. Well, yeah, the flesh does have pain, doesn't it? Yeah, the soul in you does mourn, doesn't it? But you know what you can't do? You can't let the devil get in your mind in your mourning and in your pain and the times when you feel like you've kind of lost some hope. You can't let the devil get in your mind and make you forget about the love of God. You can't allow the devil to get in your mind and cause you to forget the love of God. God loves you. I'm not trying to be sappy tonight. I'm not trying to tell you the throne of God revolves around you and your happiness and all that silly stuff you hear preached. But I am telling you tonight, God Almighty does love you like a father loves their child. But beyond that, you and I cannot comprehend the level of the love of God. He's saying you wash away the rocks. You wear away the waters, wear away the stone. Thou washest the things which grow out of the dust of the earth. Hey, wait a minute. My verse 17, my transgression is sealed up in a bag and thou sewest up mine iniquity. You know what you and I know that he didn't know? God's love is so much that yes, he did wash it away. Your sin. He did wash it away. You know how he washed it away? In the blood of his own son. He did seal up your sin. He sealed it up in a bag and tossed that thing out as far as the east is from the west. He tossed that thing into the pit of hell. He took that burden of sin off you and sealed that bag and threw that thing down in hell. How? With his son.
Did you hear what I said? He washed away your sin and the dust and dirt of your heart, of your mind, the filth of your life. He washed it away in His own Son's blood as a violent sacrifice to show you how much He loves you. And then, when you sleep in the dust, He's not leaving you in the dust. When you put down this body of pain and He put it in that grave, He says that mortality might be swallowed up of life. You're going to be more alive than you've ever been in your life when you finally lay it down. So while the devil begins to work on you and get you to despair and get you frustrated and get you hopeless, you need to remember that although it looks pretty hopeless and you're kind of bummed out right now and things aren't going great right now and this doesn't look like it can turn out good, God can use it for good because He's the giver of life. He's the sustainer of life and He loves you. All right, let's close in a word of prayer.